بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. We continue
where we stopped at
in منزلة الفرار,
to flee.
And we spoke about فرار الخاصة,
the fleeing of the specifics.
And then he said من الخبر إلى الشهود ومن الرسوم إلى الأصول ومن الحظوظ إلى التجرد. We explained من الخبر إلى الشهود ومن الرسوم إلى الأصول. We still have one more left. يقول رحمه الله من الحظوظ إلى التجرد. من الحظوظ, الحظوظ is the share of your nafs. To the تجرد, to dispose yourself from all what your nafs takes, and the share of the nafs and this ibadah, to make it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يقول ابن القيم رحمه الله يريد الفرار من حظوظ النفس على اختلاف مراتبها. He said ابن القيم رحمه الله said that it is to flee from the shares of your nafs, from the share of the nafs, يعني what your nafs like. You say, طيب, what can my nafs like? Of course, your nafs can like some ibadah over some ibadah, or prefer some ibadah over some ibadah. You see? Some ibadah can make you feel greater. And that is why the companions, when the descriptions of the companions, radiallahu anhum, that they would not care whether they're in the front line or back. At the back, في الساقة, mean at the back. Back of the army. They do not care where they are put in position of da'wah. Whether they're in the forefront of the da'wah, facing the public, or they are in the back rooms, working. Even though it's all da'wah, it's all lillah. But sometimes حظ النفس requires that you want to be in the front. حظ النفس says, I have ilm. I want to show that ilm that I have. And this is, إخواني, a calamity, really. When we believe, and this is, يعني, to subside from the main topic, from the main line, but I just want to explain this because this actually in the same vein as what the Imam is talking about. When the da'wah itself or the person who's working in the da'wah believes and thinks that da'wah is you have to be in the front and your face is shown, and that is da'wah. While 90% of the work of da'wah is in the background. And the most rewarding work in the da'wah is in the background. But the nafs does not want that. Especially if someone has a beautiful voice. He wants to be in the front. And that is why Umar radiallahu anhu used to reprimand the Qurra. Why? Because your beautiful voice wants you to be in the front. Wallah, I watched some brothers who have beautiful voices. You know, we were at a place, yani in Mina, and we had a few brothers who have beautiful voices. One of them I noticed, when the Salat tuqam, he used to look whether the people are calling him to stand in the front to lead the Salat. But it's an honor when people tell you, lead us. And when people tell you to lead, say lead us, then you move forward. You understand the point here, it's very important. Same thing, the talib al-ilm. Unfortunately today, yani with the social media era that we live in, whether it's YouTube, whether it's recording, whether it's anything, everyone wants his voice to be heard, and his opinion to be heard, and his face to be seen. That's fine if you are talking about rugby or talking about football or cricket. But about deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, only the one with knowledge and the proper knowledge, they're the one who speak. And not everyone who has knowledge can speak in everything. And another problem, Malishi, maybe I'm diverting, but stay with me because this is not a general lecture. So many of the brothers here are, inshallah, tulab ilm, and it's recorded and the world is listening to it. You'd see, not everyone who know, yani who has knowledge, like for example, many mashayikh or many du'at, just because he is a popular da'i, he wants to speak about everything and in everything. No. There are some fields are not your fields. Stick to what you know and protect your deen and your nafs. You're not obliged to speak about every topic that comes up. You speak in hadith if you are muhaddith. You speak in theology when you have studied aqidah properly, and so on and so forth. But don't speak in things you have no knowledge of. Huh. As the ulama say, "Man takallama bighayri fannihi ata bil ajaib." Whomsoever speak in a field that is not his, he comes up with wonders. Why? Because he's speaking in things he does not understand the principles behind it, the facts. He cannot distinguish facts from wrong things, wrong principles, and confuses everything. So we need to understand that it's very important, because otherwise you'll enter where hudud al-nafs. A book that is not done and you're qualified to teach it, fine. A book that is done 2-3 times, khalas, why you want to reinvent the wheel? What you're going to add? What did our previous scholars used to do, the scholars? Let's just say somebody commented on a book. There is a few commentaries on it. If you're not bringing any additional ilm, then you should not write. Otherwise you'll be copy and paste or rephrasing. And that's not ilm. Rephrasing is not ilm. That's why you need to reference it, because not ilm attributed to you. True or not? And that's what you're doing. If you have something new, then you can add. But if you don't have anything new, you're just going to rephrase what others say, khalas, leave it to others. Wallahi, I have a reservation of what others said. Then bring what others said and have a footnote on it. If you're qualified enough to have a reservation, footnote it. Put a footnote, put a commentary. My commentary on what he said, I believe that that is it. If you are to that level, yani. Huh? And that is why, ikhwani, in our history, the books that survived are the books that bring something new, not in totality, in majority. Yani, ulama said there is over 400 sharah on Bukhari. 400. How many do we know? How many are printed? Few. Because if you haven't compiled something new in its majority, then it's useless. Araftum ikhwani, it's useless. So this, the brothers, they just say another lecture, another this, that. Ya akhi, khalas. Wallahi dijma. Araftum. Tayyib, someone would say, why, how is this related here? Apart from, it's reinventing the wheel, this is an important point, hudud al-nafs. The nafs becomes, and the nafs wants share, and then you lose the reward. Yeah, he said, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَعْرِفُهَا إِلَّا الْمُعْتَنُونَ بِمَعْرِفَةِ اللَّهِ وَمُرَادِهِ. Those who know تجريد, التجريد من حضوظ النفس, to dispose yourself from the shares of your nafs in your action, the ones who really can pick it are the ones who know Allah and know what He wants. And how do you know what Allah wants? Let me explain to you. There is a beginner apprentice and there is a fourth year apprentice. You have a boss who's a mechanic, and you are first year. The boss is looking at the engine and there is a nut, yes, 14. He's looking at it and looking at you. Ain't the first year. Araf, you don't know what you're doing. What do you want? Get me spanner 14. You go get the spanner 14. Your first year apprentice. Last year apprentice, he opens the bonnet, he looks at it, you got it for him without him talking. And you probably start. You're a last year apprentice now. You know the murad of your boss. That's why it's very hard for him to let go of you. And he pays you more and increase your pay because he doesn't even have to talk. He looks at you, you know what to do. That's why it's the khasa, ma'rifatu muradillah. When you read what Allah wants, you know what He wants and what He's aiming behind that and what His aim, you apply Him straight away without the complication of too many questions. Subhanallah. And that's why Al-Mu'tanun, he said, the one who take care of this science, this field, to know the murad of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, وَبِالْجُمْلَةِ He said, and generally, فَالْحَظْ The share here he's talking about, مَا سُوَى مُرَادِ اللَّهِ الدِّينِ مِنْكَ إِنَ مَنْكَ He said, very simple, generally, to understand what حُضُوذ النَّفْس, what the share of the nafs, he said, is whatever that Allah does not want in the religion from you. Whatever that Allah does not want from you, if you do it, then it is حُضُوذ النَّفْس. Subhanallah. And he said, whatever it is. وَهُوَ مَا يَبْرَحُ حَظُّ مُحَرَّمٍ إِلَى مَكْرُوهٍ إِلَى مُبَاحٍ إِلَى مُسْتَحَبٍ غَيْرَهُ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْهُ وَلَا يَتَمَيَّزُ هَذَا إِلَّا فِي مَقَامِ الرُّسُوخِ الْعِلْمِ فِي الْعِلْمِ بِاللَّهِ وَأَمْرِهِ وَبِالنَّفْسِ وَصِفَاتِهَا وَأَحْوَالِهَا He said, when the nafs knows between the muharram and the makruh, and between the makruh and mubah, and mubah ila mustahab, which is what leads you to another, and what is more beloved to Allah in this regard. So if you have two matters, you would always prefer what is more beloved to Allah, not what is beloved to you. Yani a matter it is allowed for you to do, but you can do something else that is more beloved to Allah. So you leave what you love for what Allah loves. That's what he is saying. And this is only known by what? By knowing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. He said here, وَبِالْجُمْلَةِ فَصَاحِبُ هَذَا التَّجْرِيدِ And he said it generally, the person who have this tajreed, I am going to a full paragraph, so I want your patience with me. He said, لا يقنع من الله بأمر يسكن إليه دون الله. He said, this person, he does not accept, is not satisfied with an order from Allah that he settled to it, except Allah. What does it mean? يعني this person does not settle to one degree at all. He's always increasing. He's always increasing his closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, fasting Ramadan to him, even though it's beloved to Allah, I will not just depend on this. I will do a little bit more and more and more. I've done Ramadan and, for example, 6 days of Shawwal. Then I'll move up next year and I'll keep moving up. لا يقنع, يعني say, I'm not going to say this is enough. I will always do what is more. وَلَا يَفْرَحُ بِمَا حَصَلَ لَهُ دُونَ اللَّهِ And he's not happy or satisfied for whatever happens to him beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَأْسَى عَلَى مَا فَاتَهُ سِوَى اللَّهِ And he's not feeling, يعني whatever he has that brings him joy in this dunya, it will not give him joy, nothing gives him joy except Allah. You see? And Whatever has passed, يعني ما فاتك, whatever opportunities you missed out on, he will not feel sorry about them or feel sorrow inside his heart except for Allah. What does it mean? Meaning he only feels sorry about the time he wasted and he did not utilize it for the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَسْتَغْنِي بِرُتْبَةٍ شَرِيفَةٍ وَإِنْ عَظَمَتْ عِنْدَهُ أَوْ عِنْدَ النَّاسِ. He does not feel enriched or satisfied with some station or position, no matter how great it is in his eyes or the eyes of the people. يعني كيف؟ يعني he's not going to turn away from his deen, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just because he attained certain position in society. It will always be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَسْتَغْنِي إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. He does not become independent except by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني he's always attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he does not need or show poorness except to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَفْرَحْ إِلَّا بِمُوَافَقَتِهِ لِمَرْضَاتِ اللَّهِ. And he does not feel happy and satisfied except by knowing that he has pleased Allah. وَلَا يَحْزَنْ عَلَى مَا فَاتَهُ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And he does not feel sad about what he missed from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَخَافُ إِلَّا مِنْ سُقُوطِهِ مِنْ عَيْنِ اللَّهِ. And he does not fear except that he is dropped from the eye of Allah. يعني he does not care who belittles him, who speak ill of him, who says, you're nothing in my eyes anymore. As long as he knows that he is something in the eye of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاحْتِجَابُ اللَّهِ عَنْهِ. And he only fear that Allah covers himself from him. فَكُلُّهُ بِاللَّهِ. All of him, that person, is with Allah. وَكُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And all of him is for Allah. وَكُلُّهُ مَعِ اللَّهِ. And all of him with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of him is billah, with Allah, or for Allah, with Allah, billah, for the sake of Allah. وَكُلُّهُ لِلَّهِ. And all of him is to Allah, and all of him is, يعني his company is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then he said, فِرَارُ خَاصَّةِ الْخَاصَّةِ. The fleeing of the specific of the specifics. He said, مِمَّا, يعني, then he divided it to three. He said, مِمَّا دُونَ الْحَقِّ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Wherever, less than, or beside, then, the haq to the haq. وَمِنْ شُهُودِ الْفِرَارِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. And from witnessing the fleeing to the haq. This is very abstract, subhanAllah. ثُمَّ الْفِرَارِ مِنْ شُهُودِ الْفِرَارِ. Then it gets even worse. Then the fleeing, from witnessing the fleeing. He said, Ibn al-Qayyim here, he became a little bit critical of this. He said, this is, هَذَا عَلَى قَاعِدَةِ مَنْ جَعَلَ الْفَنَاءِ عَنِ الشُّهُودِ غَيَةِ السَّالِكِينَ. Here he said, this is, according to the rule of the ones who made al-fana, dissolving yourself, عَنِ الشُّهُودِ, يعني keep dissolving yourself away from the witnessing. There is a class from the Sufiya, and that is not the intention of the author of this book, Al-Harawi Rahimahullah. But there is a class of Sufiya, unfortunately, dwell too much into this. What is Al-Fana? Al-Fana, when you dissolve in Allah. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. What is the Shuhud? Is for you to witness the reality of Allah. What is higher to them is for you to dissolve and unite with Allah. Al-fana, tafna. But what is lesser is to witness. So he's saying, this what he said, it can be understood according to that rule. Which rule? Which is al-fana ani shuhud. For you to tafna and not to witness, because to enter the higher level. فَيَفُرُّ أَوَّلًا. He said in the beginning, he will flee. الخلق إلى الخلق إلى الحق. He flee from the creation to the حق. He said here, فيفر يعني in the beginning, he will flee from the creation to the creator. Then, ويشهد بهذا الفرار انفراد مشهوده الذي فر إليه. And then, he witnesses with this fleeing انفراد مشهوده, the unity or the singularity of المشهود, what you have witnessed, the one you flee to, which is whom? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لكن بقيت عليه بقية. There is one small bit. Which bit? Witnessing the fleeing. The action. You flee from the creation to the creator. This is beautiful. Wallahi ikhwa, if you understand it, this is beautiful. You flee from the creation to the creator. So there is action that you did, verb, action that you did, which is what? Fleeing. Now you witnessed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this action of fleeing, you're witnessing it, aren't you? This witnessing, it can corrupt your soul. By how? Oh, mashallah, look how I'm fleeing from the creation to the creator. Look how I left everything. Your mind start to work. Look, mashallah. Yani, just to take you to a simple example, when you come to the masjid, you're fleeing from your home to the masjid. You come to the masjid, but there's action here. Sometimes you say, if it's raining and cold and we're leaving the house, it's all fi sabilillah, alhamdulillah. Your nafs are talking to you. You're not talking to no one. You're talking within your nafs, which is hadithun nafs. Is no problem with it, is it? But there's no problem with hadithun nafs. So yeah, you're driving cold, man. You stayed home. Umm Muhammad, she cooked this beautiful soup. May Allah reward Umm Muhammad. And I had to come because 7:30, then Abu Adnan, yani, when he sits, he smash us, we can't go. And, you know, in all of that stuff, you're saying, yani, we got to stay, man, and then we go back, then we have to reheat the soup, and she stayed home. So you're talking to your nafs. Of course, this fleeing is an honorable action. صح? To the masjid. And you are, when you're talking to your nafs, you are witnessing what? You are talking about the action of the fleeing. That talk can have something in your heart. So you have to flee from this. And you forget about it. That's what he's talking about. So you're fleeing from the creation to the creator, and you need to flee from the fleeing itself. So nothing in your heart will remain. So you can be purely sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think we just understand that it's beautiful. It's beautiful that yani, it's very simple. Again, to give you another example so we can cement it. You gave a brother came and asked you for money. He says, brother, wallahi, I'm in dire need. Yani, my family operation, can you lend me $10,000? You say, brother, take it. Please don't give it back. I don't want it back. He says, oh, don't mention it. When you said don't mention it, is what? Is it fleeing? From fleeing the action of giving money. The action of giving money requires what? Struggle with your nafs, isn't it? Struggle with the shaitan. Struggle with the love. وَتُحِبُّونَ الْمَالَ حُبًّا جَمَّا. Struggle. But you won that struggle. Your nafs feel it, start to feel satisfaction. Before your nafs feel satisfaction, you run away from that. Because that satisfaction can what? Can corrupt your heart. That's what he's talking about. And that is why the khassa, what do? The specifics. They give. By the specific of the specific, they even fly away and run away before their nafs start feeling the satisfaction of giving fi sabilillah. We're not saying about talking about it. We're saying the hadith and nafs. And that's what he is saying, subhanallah. لذلك ابن القيم said, لكن بقيت عليه بقية. But there is something left, which is what? وَهِيَ شُهُودُ فِرَارِهِ. To witness his fleeing, when he flee from the creation to the creator. And that is why I'll go back and explain properly what he said. And the fleeing of the specifics the specifics of the specifics, he said, مِمَّا دُونَ الْحَقِّ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. from whatever beside the haq, which is everything that is created, to the creator. ثُمَّ شُهُودُ الْفِرَارِ إِلَى الْحَقِّ. Then you start witnessing, and you start witnessing this fleeing to the haq, because that's an honorable action. Then he said, you flee from the shuhud. So you've done how many actions? Three. You flee from the creation to the creator. Then you witness this fleeing. You start reflecting on it. And then before it reaches to your heart and becomes a corrupter of your heart, you flee from it. Then your action is purely 100% to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taban, it's hard to even imagine it. Araf? But it only happens when you start working for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you do the tahajjud, you do qira'at al-Qur'an, this, all of this, and you seclude, and I'm not saying you seclude yourself from humans, no. You seclude your life to Allah, and you start attaching yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this process, there is a process that you are doing. You stay away from letting this process give you arrogance and sit in your heart as if you are doing something. And then you belittle it, you turn away from it. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, we're not doing anything. Who are we? نَحْنُ فُقَرَاءَ إِلَى اللَّهِ. We are poor. And Allah has given us this ni'mah. And all life wasn't for Him. This is what you talk to yourself. And then you will witness that what? That every blessing is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every ibadah is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you, this way, forget the pain of the ibadah. And this will explain to you when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to say, when they used to say to him, Ya Rasulullah, you pray all night until your feet became swollen. And Allah has forgiven all your sins. Look how he flees sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from it. He said, Ala akunu abdan shakura. Don't you want me to be a thankful slave? He flee from the real reason, which is what? What is the real reason? An-nafs. My sins are forgiven. Why do I need to abad until my feet are swollen? He directed the purpose, all of it. He said, no. This got nothing to do with Allah forgiving my sins or not forgiving my sin. This is not the point. The point that I'm worshipping Allah, I want to be abda and shakura. Because if he dwelled, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and thought that Allah forgiven his future sins, and he is past, what would happen in his mind? I'm special. Subhanallah. He diverted it straight away. No. This is not the point. The point is, I just want to thank Allah. Subhanallah al-Azim, ikhwani, ajib. Then we move to the following manzila station, al-Riyadah. Which Riyadah, yani sports? No, it's not sports, Riyadah. Manzilatul Riyadah. Al-Riyadah here is meditation. To meditate. Yaqul rahimahullah. هي تمرين النفس على الصدق والإخلاص. Ibn al-Qayyim defined riyadah is to train yourself to be what? Sidq, to be truthful and sincere. شوف سبحان الله the qualities. This meditation is to train your nafs to be truthful and sincere. Wallahi ikhwani, this is the hardest training. No matter what we think, the most important training is to drop 50 kilos and 60 kilos. No. The most important training and the hardest is to be sadiq, and to be mukhlis, to speak the truth, and to be sincere. And they are very difficult. They are very difficult. Here he said, قَالَ صَاحِبُ الْمَنَازِلِ As for Al-Harawi rahimahullah, he defined it, he said, هِيَ تَمْرِينُ النَّفْسِ عَلَىٰ قَبُولِ الصِّدْقِ. It is to train your nafs to accept the truth. What is it again? To train your nafs to accept the truth. Come to my mind how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seclude himself in Ghar Hira for years. For what, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? He's meditating, which is a training his nafs to accept the siddiq. And that is why when it came to him, he held on to it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One would say, that means we do meditate today, can we go and seclude ourselves? No. That was abrogated by our deen. The meditation of Islam is ibadatullah at night. What is the meditation of Islam? Ibadatullah, night time. هذا هي meditation. For you to get up when people are asleep, when people are snoring and having beautiful dreams, to make wudu, Allahu Akbar. Start with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Think about it. At night, when people are asleep and you're putting your nafs under your feet and putting your joy under your feet, shuf, wallahi, if you're a millionaire or a poor person who live in a cave or the one who lives in the most expensive home, the difference between the two, one makes wudu with hot water and the other one makes wudu with cold water. That's it. One may pray on a mat and one may pray on the ground. But really there is no difference. You know why? Because it is the hardest on the nafs, regardless where you come from, is to wake up at the time where people are asleep. And then you start meditating. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Before we carry on, sorry, I said Qiyamul Layl. I don't want to restrict Qiyamul Layl with Salat. Qiyamul Layl can be what? Can be reading the Quran, can be tasbih, because even some sisters, when they have their monthly period, they can what do tasbih, dhikrullah. So it's not, does not have to restrict yourself in salat, and don't restrict yourself to salat. Why? Because it could lead to boredom. He said here, hiya tamrinu nafsi ala qabuli sidq. It is to train yourself to what? To accept the sidq. Because ikhwani, accepting the sidq is hard. And if you're not trained to accept the truth, you can easily reject it. And it takes special people to accept the truth. He said, وَهَذَا يُرَادُ بِهِ أَمْرًا. Ibn al-Qayyim said, and this is the intention behind it, is two things. What is intended behind it is two things. تَمْرِينُهَا عَلَى قَبُولِ الصِّدْقِ إِذَا عَرَضَهُ عَلَيْهَا فِي أَقْوَالِهِ وَأَفْعَالِهِ وَإِرَادَاتِهِ. Something important here, he said, are two points. He said, to train your nafs to accept the sidq when it is presented to your nafs. When you present it to it, when you present, because what happens is, you hear something, you read something, or you do yourself something. If it is the truth, you present it to your intellect, to your nafs, and then the struggle begins whether to accept it or not. But if the nafs is and the intellect is ready due to meditation, as we mentioned, what it means meditation, then it accepts it and would not reject it. He said, whether it is through your actions, yani the truth came to your intellect and your nafs through your actions, or your sayings, or your iradat. What is iradat? Al-irada is the will. Because every action it starts as what? With the irada, with the will. True or not? Any action that does not have a will or lacks a will, it's arbitrary. يعني عشوائي. And sometimes, if your action lacks a will and happens involuntary, what would happen? Then it's not real action that you are accountable for. Araft. Here he said, فإذا عرض عليها الحق الصدق قبلته وانقادت إليه وأذعنت له. When the صدق, the truth is presented to it, it accepts it and it follows it and submits to it. He said, and the second meaning, قبول الحق ممن عرضه عليه. Now he's talking about the outside. So the person who comes to you with the صدق and with the حق, you do what? You do accept it when it is presented to you. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالَّذِي جَاءَ بِالصِّدْقِ وَصَدَّقَ بِهِ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. He said, and the one who came with the صدق and believed in it, those are the pious ones. Of course, there are many interpretations to this ayah, but one of the interpretations used here, he said, it is not sufficient that you speak the truth. He said, بل لابد من صدقك وتصديقك للصادقين. He said, it is very important that you speak the truth and you believe the truthful ones. Araft? He said here, because what stops you from believing in the sidq, sometimes what? Kibr, arrogance, hasad. Yani kif. You find someone who speaks the truth, honest, upright, but when the truth comes to him or her, he rejects it. Is there people like that? Of course there are people. They're everywhere. Who honest speak the truth, but when the truth comes to them, they reject it. He said, why? He said, because there's so many factors, many elements. Some of them arrogance. No, I'm not gonna accept this. You present fact and figures? No, I'm not gonna accept it. Why? My lifestyle doesn't allow me. Kibr. Sah? Yani one of the prime example, as mentioned in Bukhari, was Abu Sufyan. You think Abu Sufyan used to lie? Was he a taghut, an enemy to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or not? Sah? Before he became a Muslim. He had an opportunity to slander Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in front of the king or not? Did he slander him or speak the truth? Spoke the truth. So, was Abu Sufyan a person who's honest and speak the truth or not? Yes. But did he believe in the truth? No. You see the point? But the issue here is with Abu Sufyan, if he has trained his nafs to accept the truth, he would have accepted it. But he hasn't trained it because his nafs was corrupted by what? By power, authority, money, women, worship, leadership of Quraysh, all of this prevented him from accepting the truth. And that's why when he lost everything, he became a Muslim. Because all the barriers that stopped him from accepting the truth, he all were forcefully removed. Forcefully removed from him, then he accepted the truth. And he had to draw an important point. If Abu Sufyan, at the prime of his enmity to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, would not lie, how can a Muslim brother lie? And some people unfortunately justify their lying with all different shonky, backyard, fatawi. Subhanallah. It's not the trait of a Muslim to lie. It's not even a trait of a kafir to lie. No one lies except what? Scum of the earth. Coward. And the Arabs at that time, yani you could curse them in any curse or swear at him in any swear words in the Arab, in a dictionary, no, they don't care. But don't call him a liar. He will never lie. Even with their enmity to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they were truthful about it. They didn't lie about it. They didn't hide it and mock and do nifaq and everything and two-faced and everything. He said here, قَالَ وَهِيَ عَلَى ثَلَاثِ دَرَجَاتِ. It is upon three levels. رِيَاضَةُ الْعَامَّةِ. The riyada, the meditation of al-amma, the layman. Listen to this. Ya Allah, how beautiful is this? وهي تهذيب الأخلاق بالعلم. It is to perfect your manners with knowledge. The second, وتصفية الأعمال بالإخلاص, word to be written with gold. And to purify your action with sincerity. The third, وتوفير الحقوق في المعاملة, and to be generous in giving the rights when you deal with people. بالله عليك. Ask you by Allah. If the Muslim here community, just here in this little city, applies these three, I can assure you people will come to Islam in what? In droves. People will come to Islam. You don't need to give them pamphlet. They will just be, they will say, we want to become like this man. We just want to imitate this man. Shuf, remember, and every one of them, خَيْرٌ لَكَ مِنْ حُمُرِ النَّعْمِ يَا عَلِي. One of them to convert to Islam because of your example, better for you than what? Than the red camels. And these red camels, يعني I can tell you now, one red camel in Arabia now is more expensive than Lamborghini. But they sell between, I think, between 7 to 8 million riyal. خَيْرٌ لَكَ, the Prophet ﷺ, the plural, one person. If I would tell you, you get a Lamborghini for each person become a Muslim. Yeah, the brothers will line up. Please, how? And I'm telling you, wallahi, ikhwani, it's logic. The level of the Amma, he said, Riyadatul Amma, you don't sit and meditate. No, he said, تهذيب الأخلاق بالعلم, to perfect your manners with knowledge, not with ignorance. وتصفية الأعمال بالإخلاص, and to purify your actions with sincerity. Just act with sincerity. وتوفير الحقوق في المعاملة, to be generous when you trade and you treat others. He said here, أما تهذيب الأخلاق بالعلم, as for تهذيب الأخلاق بالعلم, فالمراد به إصلاحها وتصفيتها بموجب العلم. He said the intention behind it is to correct your nafs and purify it according to knowledge. Yani when you learn the deen, you start purifying and fixing, trimming, fixing here, tying up here, what? Your akhlaq with ilm. What does the ilm require you to be? Not look for in the shara' wallahi this and hadith this, so you can use it to justify your ill manners. No. هذا هو إنما بعثت لأتمم مكارم الأخلاق. I came to perfect good manners. وإنك لعلى خلق عظيم. The Prophet ﷺ, Allah سبحانه وتعالى described him in the Quran, you are upon a great manner. فلا يتحرك بحركة ظاهرة أو باطنة إلا بمقتضى العلم. He does not act with the movement, whether it's internal, يعني with your heart and your thoughts, or apparent, except according to knowledge. He said, therefore, his actions, the apparent and the hidden one, the internal one, it is weighed by mizan al-shara, with the scale of the sharia. As for tasfiyat al-a'mali bil-ikhlas, as for purifying your action with sincerity, فَهُوَ تَجْرِيدُهَا عَنْ أَنْ يَشُوبَهَا بَاعِثٌ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ وَهِيَ عِبَارَةٌ عَنْ تَوْحِيدِ الْمُرَادِ وَتَجْرِيدِ الْبَاعِثِ إِلَيْهِ. He said, as for purifying the actions with sincerity, it is to dispose and purify it from anything that could mix with it. It is to purify it from any insincere action that could make it murky or change it or mix with it. عرفت? Anything, any ba'ith لغير الله, any even thought that not for Allah's sake. And وَهِيَ عِبَارَ عَنْ تَوْحِيدِ الْمُرَادِ, it is in its reality, what it stand for is to do tawheed of your intentions, meaning your intentions, all of it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And not only that, وتجريد الباعث إليه. And the motivation of this action that you're going to do is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you purify the act. Why am I attending classes? Why am I learning? Why do I attend the college? So Allah, I studied under Sheikh X and Sheikh Y and Sheikh Z. And wallah, I've done diploma and all of this. No. The motivation is to get closer to Allah and for Allah. Not for people to say, قَدْ قَرَأَ وَقَدْ عَلِمَ. He has read and he has attained. أَمَّا تَوْفِيرُ الْحُقُوقِ فِي الْمُعَامَلَةِ. As for the third one, which two? As for being generous in your in giving the rights when you're dealing here, he said, فَهُوَ أَنْ تُعْطِيَ مَا أُمِرْتَ بِهِ مِنْ حَقِّ اللَّهِ وَحُقُوقِ الْعِبَادِ كَامِلًا مُوَفَّرًا. قَدْ نَصَحْتَ فِيهِ صَاحِبَ الْحَقِّ غَايَةَ النُّصْحِ وَأَرْضَيْتَهُ كُلَّ الرِّضَى فَفِزْتَ بِحَمْدِهِ لَكَ وَشُكْرِهِ. Allahu Akbar. He said, for you to give what you ordered to give from the right of Allah, يعني to give Allah His right, and to give the slaves of Allah, to give the creation of Allah their rights, complete to the last drop. يعني not to leave anyone has right who paid you for it or asked you and you agreed to do it. You don't just do it. You do more, a little bit more. Shuf, the merchants back in the days when I was young kid growing up in Lebanon, in Tripoli, you go to the shop. Who remembers the older scale? Not with the one that has a hand. The old one that has two hands, they put a metal kilo. You remember them, huh? They put a metal kilo, and then he puts a kilo. Subhanallah. And it has two little pieces of metal. When they stand equal to each other, that means you now have a kilo. When we grew up, it always, your hand is heavier in the scale. So they will put a little bit extra to make sure you got more, even 5-10 grams from what you asked for. Why is that? So they can give you your haqq completely and an increase with it. That's how they used to be. And that's where there was barakah in everything they do. That's in the days back when we were growing up. Subhanallah. Yani you ask for 1 kilo, they give you kilo and 20 gram, 30 gram to make sure they haven't, huh? In case they gave you 990 gram. No, it's 1,000 and something. Subhanallah. And here he said something important. قَدْ نَسَحْتَ فِيهِ صَاحِبَ الْحَقِّ غَيَةَ النُّصْحِ. And anyone who has right over you, whether due to trading, you have gave him the nasiha غَيَةَ النُّصْحِ. يعني you told him you done the job for them, and you gave him an advice on top of this job. You made sure they understood their rights. You made sure they know what they are in for and what's going to happen. غَيَةَ النُّصْحِ. يعني you sold them something, for example, tell them this is the best way to use it, make sure you do this. How do you do it? Okay, you understand now how to do it, so you don't take it home and burn it, or ruin it, or destroy it, or make a mistake. شوف غاية النصح. وحقوق العباد كاملا موفر. نعم غاية النصح. وأرضيته كل الرضا. And you please them to the last as you can. To the best you can. Yani he walks away from you pleased. He walks away from you. When you separate after the transaction is over, he's pleased and happy. And he jumps in the car, man, he's a good man. Huh? Or he jumps in, what an idiot. Very good. Man, I've never seen a salesman like that. He's an idiot. No, he's not an idiot. He's a smart man. He bought the akhirah, you bought the dunya. He was extra generous, not because you're not used to this generosity. Not because he is dealing with Allah, he's not dealing with you, and he wants the akhirah, does not want the dunya. He knows you got more than what you asked for, but it's not. He's not doing it just because he loves your the way you look, ya habibi. No, he's doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَفِزْتَ بِحَمْدِهِ لَكَ وَشُكْرِهِ. And then you gain alhamd والشكر. Also, this also to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because remember, this is two types. How is to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because how's the nasiha for Allah? Is to be sincere to His deen, صح? Sincere to Him. How do we, ya Arda, you try to please Allah to the best of your ability. And then you will gain the praise of Allah, and Allah will thank you for this action. Here He said, وَلَمَّا كَانَتْ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَةُ شَاقَّ عَلَى نَفْسِ جِدًّا كَانَ تَكَلُّفُهَا رِيَاضَةً فَإِذَا اعْتَادَهَا صَارَتْ خُلُقًا. Allahu Akbar. He said, because these three are so hard upon the nafs and extremely hard, that is why for you to carry these three, you require riyadah, which is what? Yes. يعني, you keep what he's trying here, you require. It's not a riyadah that is prerequisite. No. But it means implementing them, you need to do them continuously. Why sports is called riyadah? Because you do the same action every day until it becomes what? Second nature. Those who play karate and they split themselves. Day kicks for 3 meters in the air. And how does he do that? Do you think he started like that? He was born like that? No. He keeps on kicking until he kicked his life out of his head. Huh? He keeps kicking until he what? Slowly kicks higher until he perfected, until he can do 108 split in the air and all of that movement. And it comes with practice. Slow practice, continuous practice. This is called what? This is the riyadah. Until these movements become second nature. It becomes a second nature. It's like reflection. He moves with reflection. He doesn't move anymore with what. See, he reflects on what you do and they move. True or not? This is what it is. He's saying these, the three points that he mentioned, you keep struggling within your nafs and training your nafs to do them. Yani, you train your nafs to what? To have akhlaq by ilm. You know, akhlaq that is founded on knowledge. To have, to purify your action with sincerity. And the last one, to be generous in the huquq. First time will be hard on your nafs. Huh? Second time will be a little bit easier. Until it becomes, by nature, your akhlaq is good. You don't try to pretend it. It just comes. This is who you are. This is who you are. It becomes what? Khuluq for you. Meaning, a second nature. That's it. This is who you are. Araft? And that is why you need to train yourself by what? By implementing these three points and practice them regularly until you reach that level where you become khuluq, part of your inherent nature. So you don't need to practice and they just come out automatically. طيب إخواني سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.